On this date in 2005, and about an hour from now, the National Weather Service issued this warning about Katrina. Devastating damage expected. Hurricane Katrina, most powerful hurricane with unprecedented strength, rivaling the intensity of Hurricane Camille of 1969. Most of the area will be uninhabitable for weeks, perhaps longer. At least one half of well-constructed homes will have roof and wall failure. All gabled roofs will fall, leaving those homes severely damaged or destroyed. The majority of industrial buildings will become non-functional, partial to complete wall and roof failures expected. All wood-framed low-rising apartment buildings will be destroyed. Concrete block low-rise apartments will sustain major damage, including some wall and roof failure. High-rise office and apartment buildings will sway dangerously, a few to the point of total collapse. All windows will blow out. Airborne debris will be widespread and may include heavy items such as household appliances and even light vehicles. Sport utility vehicles and light trucks will be moved. The blown debris will create additional destruction. Persons, pets, and livestock exposed to the winds will face certain death if struck. Power outages will last for weeks as most power poles will be down and transformers destroyed. Water shortages will make human suffering incredible by modern standards. The vast majority of native trees will be snapped or uprooted. Only the hardiest will remain standing, but be totally defoliated. Few crops will remain. Livestock left exposed to the winds will be killed. Wow. That's what we read and heard from the National Weather Service on this date in 2005, the day before Katrina missed us.
I remember hearing that bulletin on the air. A Lafayette disc jockey read it there because we had an influx of people coming in. Mm-hmm. And I just remember getting chills. I was in the car with my mom driving to my grandparents' house because my aunts and uncles who lived here had migrated there to get out. They got out Saturday. And my only thought was, God, I hope they're wrong.
Mm-hmm. And in a way, they were, because Katrina missed us and hit Mississippi, and considering, you know, I'm no engineer, I don't know if I can speak to this or not, but I would presume we would have had the same wall failure and the same levee failure if Katrina had hit us dead on, in addition to the wind damage that they were talking about there with the National Weather Service. So as bad as it was, maybe could have been worse.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you, Ian. Speaking of trees, City Park lost a lot of trees and has changed a lot. Rebecca Dietz joins us now, the president and CEO of City Park Conservancy. Talk about new plan and also about how the park has changed. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm great. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Were you here for Katrina or not?
I was.
Tell me
and
your
wow,
story.
Just read was pretty powerful. Took me back.
Mm-hmm. Tell me your story. I want to hear your Katrina story.
I was actually out of town when Katrina hit, in a time when we weren't on our phones all the time, mm-hmm. so I wasn't aware of just how bad and powerful it was going to be. So my husband and I got stuck in Chicago, actually, and couldn't get home. We didn't get home for probably 5 weeks, maybe 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I was going to ask you because we're going to have Chris Rose tomorrow, and one of the things that he wrote in his columns.
Wow.
Wait, go back.
I just said, oh, wow.
Tell me great. Why you said that.
Oh, he just kind of plays a special place in all of our hearts, I think, especially from that time. All of his writings and even hearing about his story now.
Yeah, he's going to be with us tomorrow, and I think, and this is my theory, and I'll express this to him, that just as Van Gogh trying to get his interpretation of the world to the public drove him crazy, I think in a lot of ways, Katrina, Chris Rose is a, as we all are, but a real victim of Katrina, because I think he deserves some kind of award. He'll say he doesn't, but he expressed what everybody was feeling, and he did it in a very eloquent manner, in real manner, an authentic manner.
I completely agree.
The only thing problem I got is I listen to the book on tape, and Bronson Pinchot reads it, and I wince every time I hear Chupatulas, Matari, and Chalmette. So much so that I'm going to offer to Chris to read it again for free, just so it'd be done properly. Let's talk about City Park. You know, I remember the park with the four golf courses. I don't know if you were part of the planning or not, but how did they even go about determining the genesis, if you will, of where we were then to where we are now?
So it's really remarkable and actually kind of special that we're talking about a new plan for City Park 20 years after the former plan, because in March of 2005, the City Park Improvement Association approved a master plan for City Park. It was called City Park 2018, and it was to prepare the park to be prepared for the city's tricentennial. Mm-hmm. And so when Hurricane Katrina hit and put 8 feet of water in the park and destroyed thousands of trees and buildings, and as anyone who was here remembers, just turned the entire park brown, essentially. Mm-hmm. City Park had a blueprint to take to the federal government and say, help us rebuild this special place. And that's why master plans are so important, especially for parks. The federal government was able to quickly turn around and provide funding to get the rebuilding effort started. And I will also note that no rebuilding would have happened in City Park if it weren't for strong leadership and a strong community. The individuals who lived in this neighborhood or even came from other places around the city and the country showed up in City Park with lawnmowers and weed eaters and whatever they had.
You know what? Let me slow down a second there if I can, Rebecca, because you just stirred a memory with me. I remember the debris piled up like mountains on West End, but I had forgotten that the entire city park had turned brown, and I also had forgotten about the volunteers showing up with lawnmowers to cut the grass. Talk about that some more, please.
Yes, so hundreds of volunteers, former employees, people who just wanted to help in any way they could, showed up in City Park. Some in groups that were organized, some just walked over from their houses in the afternoons. There was a special group of folks that titled themselves the Morons, who came into the park and mowed just to get things feeling a little back to normal. I mean, you remember as well as I do, you just wanted to feel a little normalcy back in your life, and coming to the park and taking a walk in an area that felt like it had been cleaned up a little bit meant a lot to people.
So let's keep moving now. We're the Morons are there helping to cut the grass. Where do we go from there?
Yeah, so, I mean, essentially it took the same kind of time and intense effort as it did in the rest of the city. It took planning. It took investment from both individuals and government aid. City Park had to reduce its employment from about 150 people down to about 23 employees who stayed on. And as you know, Tommy, people just rolled up their sleeves and got to work. And again, if it weren't for the strong leadership we had at that time, it probably wouldn't have happened. So the park you see today is eternally grateful for the leadership and the community that rallied around it in 2005 and after.
I've asked a lot of our guests this question. I'll ask you the same question. If Katrina had not happened, what do you think City Park would be like today?
Oh, you know, it probably would be just as beautiful and vibrant. And again, I say that not having worked for the park at the time. Mm-hmm.
But you know of it. You went to it.
I know of it. I know it.
I think that's a more important opinion, Rebecca, than if you did work for the park at the time.
Well, I think what's important to remember is that master plan was going to take shape one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so what you've seen over the years develop in City Park, investment in the festival grounds, the great lawn, the amusement park, all of the things that have been built up over time, the children's museum, those were the result of an intentional planning process that happened pre-Katrina and then was able to be implemented post-Katrina. I think what you'll see in the future plan is more of that intentional investment, preserving what we love about City Park and ensuring that its vitality remains for future generations. We owe it to the future park goers to preserve this park for them.
Amen. This is just my opinion, Rebecca, just my opinion. But I liked it better with the four golf courses. I was a big fan of the Old East and the Old West. The new golf course is great. We got a live event coming there. I understand that. But, man, I miss the East and the West sometimes. Because people don't remember. You would tee off. They had the first tee ran parallel each other on both the east and the west, and it was just something. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with Rebecca Dietz. We'll look forward to the new green light for the plan that was handed out, or at least the approval, on August 27th, yesterday. So it is kind of ironic that it happens on the 20th anniversary of Katrina. 920 WWL, back in a flash. I'm Tommy Tucker. And Rebecca Dietz, president and CEO of City Park Conservancy. Real quick, somebody texted in and said, why do you keep saying Katrina missed us? It didn't miss me in Metairie. I had to replace my house because of two trees that fell through my house. Katrina didn't miss me. I'm talking about direct landfall, which happened in Mississippi. And if I say it differently, the people in Mississippi get upset. Look, Katrina hit us all hard. It hit City Park hard. Before we move on to the master plan, or the plan that was approved, let's talk about the LIV Golf Tournament. What's that going to do for the park?
Definitely. So LIV Golf Tournament is going to bring both investment to the South Course at Bayou Oaks and also the driving range. It's also going to bring golf enthusiasts from across the world.
Wait, say that part again, Rebecca. It's going to what?
There's going to be course improvements made in advance of the golf tournament, and the state is investing money in improving our driving range.
Really?
Yes.
I guess
yes.
To make it's got to be a grass surface, a nice grass surface for these pros to warm up on and everything, and then that'll remain that way for the public?
It will remain that way for the public. It is a meaningful capital investment
That's
in the
awesome.
Golf course.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And when is that scheduled for?
The end of June. Next year, in June 2026.
I hope they bring some of that stuff to keep your hands dry.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you play golf or not, but it's tough.
Wear a hat and sunscreen.
Yeah. It's tough when it's hot out like that to hang on to the club. Let's talk about the new plan. What can we look for over the next 20 years?
I am incredibly proud.
By the way, Rebecca, I will be here 20 years from now. Can we make a date of it 20 years from now on this date?
I hope I will be here 20 years from now, too, Tommy.
Okay.
You've got a date. We'll have a call.
Why'd you say hope? I'm not hoping. I'm planning on it. Go ahead. Tell me about the park.
I'm planning on it, too. I will definitely be here 20 years from now.
Okay.
Looking forward to seeing this plan being implemented over the next 20 years. You know, this plan, City Park 2050, is a comprehensive plan for the future of City Park. It is essentially what they did back in 2005 to prepare the park for the future. And the most important thing about this park is that it reflects a shared vision of our community. It is the reflection of thousands of voices from across the greater New Orleans area who came together to tell us how they wanted to see City Park preserved, improved, and what new amenities they wanted added. It also is going to ensure that the park remains welcoming and accessible, safe, enriched with nature, joyful for all ages, and remains an affordable and inclusive amenity for our community. I think what people can expect to see is investment in native landscape restoration. I'll tell you this, once we renovate and restore that east golf course to native Louisiana habitat, and I will go take a walk out there, and you can tell me it's just as beautiful as the golf course used to be.
Okay, when you said restore golf course, you got my attention because I thought you were building another golf course. You're not. You're talking about making it a nice nature preserve where basically where you were walking the golf course before, you would be walking through all of that as a nature preserve?
Correct.
Wow.
Restoring that to native Louisiana habitat.
That is awesome. And with trails, I guess, and markers and some kind of electronic guidance and so forth?
Correct. New wayfinding, park amenities like a restroom and a kiosk to tell you where you are and what you can expect to see in these nature areas on the north side of the park.
Mm.
We also plan to restore the lagoon structure to allow for recreational water use again in City Park, and encourage biodiversity, fishing, you know, new ways to enjoy the water in the park. We also heard from the community how important recreation is for all ages and all abilities. So we'll be investing in new sports courts, sports fields, nature play, new playgrounds, and also making meaningful investment in what we have now. Again, that was something we heard over and over from the community is, please don't reinvent City Park. Mm-hmm. Improve what it is today and make it better. And so that's what we aim to do over the next 20, 25 years.
One thing that really got my attention is designing the first City Park 2050 project, because that indicates, again, I always say, you know, I was very fortunate to work with a guy that taught me you can't plan for any big organization tomorrow or next week. You got to look 5, 10, 30 years down the line.
Absolutely. And this serves as a blueprint. Things will change, of course, as we know. That's a constant, that things will change. But this helps guide our decision making, and it also helps guide where we can ask the government and individuals and foundations to invest their money in City Park. We're providing to them essentially a look forward for this park, what they can expect their legacy to mean in the future.
Does this include any lodging, any hotels, any kind of rental cabins or anything like that?
No, not in City Park. You actually, there's no no overnight living in City Park. So, no, the plan does not envision any hotels or even overnight camping opportunities, although we might explore the ideas of bringing scouting back to the park. But what it does offer are amenities that the community asks for, opportunities for shade, again, restrooms, concessions where you can stop along your trail walk and get a water or something cool to drink, and really just doubling down on the things that a park offers now, which again is an opportunity to enjoy being in nature, enjoying recreation, opportunities to explore new avenues of nature, new opportunities to be in water, and just join with your community and enjoy being in the park.
I got to tell you, my two big takeaways from this is the improvement to the driving range, because, as you said, nobody overnights or nobody lives in City Park or sleeps there. I came close to living at the City Park driving range earlier in my life for a long, long time. secondly, when the other takeaway is that to think that this East Golf Course that I walked so many times is going to be a nature preserve with marked trails, it just, that astounds me. Do you have any idea when something like that would be completed?
My hope is sooner rather than later, but we're working hard right now. We moved quickly, Tommy, from planning to action, and now we'll be designing that area and also working with potential funding opportunities. So it is a priority area in the park for us. Again, when you hear overwhelmingly from this community, they want exposure to more nature in this urban setting. We're going to respond to that. So we're excited to get that project underway.
Some wiseacre out there texted in, if you get lost on a golf course, you have bigger problems. It's not going to be like the golf course was. The fairways and everything else will be overgrown to its natural state, and it will look as though you're walking through a forest in the middle of New Orleans. Accurate?
That is accurate. I mean, depending on how you describe a forest, it will feel like you're walking through an intentionally well-maintained and managed nature trail in New Orleans. Yes.
Yeah. You're not going to want to play golf there. It's not like clearly marked holes or anything like that, if that's what people are envisioning.
We have two amazing golf courses on the north side of the park. So if you're looking to play golf, that's where you should head.
Right. I know. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying so people understand that this is going to be an awesome experience, I think. And again, Rebecca, you're looking for funding for that, or where does that stand, that specific project?
We are looking for funding for that. We will be working with state, local, federal partners to fund projects like this. We'll also be looking to private philanthropy. That's part of the planning process, is to start putting together a funding plan.
Naming rights available?
I have no doubt we're going to make this happen.
Naming rights available for that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to drum up some business for you, Rebecca. That's all.
Thank you. The Tommy Tucker Trail.
Well, no, hang on now. Hold on. I don't have that kind of money. But if I did, I don't know what happened. Did anybody win the Powerball or not? Do you know? No? $900 million. If I win the Powerball, by God, it's going to be the Tommy Tucker Nature Trail, or maybe the Rebecca Dietz Nature Trail. Any final thoughts, Rebecca?
Oh, just thank you for having me, Tommy. I appreciate being on your show and being able to introduce this. It is a privilege to steward this park. I'm very fortunate to have the job, and we're fortunate to have City Park.
Amen.
So thank you for all highlighting it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. Thank you, Rebecca Dietz. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Deuce McAllister about the Saints. 9:35, time for traffic, WWL. So as it relates to City Park, as I understand it, the state is giving LIV Golf $5 million to come in and also paying the $2 million, or maybe that's part of it, for the driving range improvement. So there's some taxpayer money involved here, which is, you know, it improves the golf course. I get that. But just to be clear, I don't know how much. I guess there's going to be an economic impact. We can look into that next week. Deuce McAllister joins us now. Everybody knows who Deuce is. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, and yourself?
Very, very good. I enjoyed listening to you and Mike for the first three preseason, well, not first three, but the only three preseason games, and I can't wait to kick it off for real with you guys against the Cardinals on Sunday, September 7th. Go ahead.
Won't be long. It won't be very long. We're looking forward to it as well.
And before I let you go, there's a helmet under the boss lady's desk and something else for you that next time you hear, check with the boss lady.
I can definitely do that.
Thank you, sir. Let's talk about the final. Well, I don't know. How final is the final 53?
It will be in. I think there still will be some moves made. Obviously, they still have. A lot of it will depend on who's healthy, where they are. Mm-hmm. I think that they will call up a player or two. When you talk about getting closer to game day, but right now this is who they have on the final 53, and even with your practice squad right now, they still have two spots available, I believe, as far as they can add to the practice squad. But when you kind of look at some of the numbers overall, this is the initial 53, and you know whether that stays the same, I highly doubt it. As far as once game day comes, and then even after week one, some of those vested veterans, their contract, can kick in, and so you'll have some fluctuation there from some guys that are possibly on the practice squad that after week one, they will get added to a regular season roster. So, I think they feel good about it, as far as where they are with the roster currently. But I do think that roster will change not only before game day coming up, but, obviously over the next 2 to 3 weeks as well.
Deuce, I quoted you before. I think it was the first preseason game when you said some names were in pencil, some of them were in ink. When it comes to the defensive linebacker situation, do you expect to see a lot of change there?
I don't know if you'll see some changes. I think that, some guys will have some packages, and I think that's the most important part of it. Over the last couple of weeks, you've started to get ready for Arizona, and so it's really just a package of how you want to use a player. Now, will that be the same week to week? I doubt it. It's probably going to be game plan specific. So what you see against Arizona may not be what they run against San Francisco. I mean, it's a totally kind of different offense, totally different quarterback. You may go a little heavier with defensive linemen in certain situations. I don't know if that's going to be the case when you talk about playing Kyler Murray, just because he's a guy that I want to keep in the box. I want to keep him in the pocket and make me have to beat him with his arms and not so much with his legs.
When it comes to Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, thoughts, concerns?
You're always concerned. I mean, both are young quarterbacks. I mean, so when you talk about them being able to go out there and handle the situation, Tyler has been in the NFL game before. And so for him to be able to go out there again, it won't be kind of a shock situation. Not to say that it would have been for Tyler, but at the end of the day, he still is a rookie, and so for them to be able to say, hey, look, this is going to be our guy, it won't be a, hey, you can't go and play, you have to be mistake-free, that won't be the case. Just go out and play. I mean, you got to make mistakes. You want to try to limit those mistakes, but just go out and play the game. And so, I think that he will be confident. He will be ready to go, and it's just you have to hit throws when they're there, and even sometimes when you have to kind of create, you do it, but you want to limit the mistakes, and it's always got to be a risk reward situation as well. And so this is the direction they decided to go in, and so we're going to support it and see how it goes.
Deuce, I'm privileged to know you, and for a guy who ran so violently on the field, it's amazing how nice of a gentleman you really are. And those of you that have met Deuce know what I'm talking about. If not, if you get a chance to meet him, you'll see. I got to ask you, what was that Katrina season like? Because I always like to get in your head and a Bobby's head after paying for tickets and watching the games from the stands. It's fascinating to me now, and I think it is the listeners, to kind of get inside of your heads, get in the huddle, and see what was going on. What was that season like? And take me back to, I guess, the final preseason game. You guys are playing Friday night, right? And then take me from there.
Yeah, it was frustrating. I mean, because it's really the unknown. And obviously to know what happened after the fact, you kind of put different things in perspective. But it was really the unknown. I mean, there was no blueprint. There was no guide to how to handle that situation. And you know, everything that we were doing, it was almost not to say for the first time, but it was hey, this is what we're going to do because we don't know kind of what's next, not necessarily next week, but maybe in 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that looks like. And so it was kind of, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to try to prepare. When you talk about going and playing games, yes, you're playing a game, but your mind may not have been there. Your mind was with the people of New Orleans and, you know, how is that situation looking? And, you know, from a rescue early on situation and, you know, would we be coming back to New Orleans? And it was tough.
So I got to let me ask you this. So Friday afternoon, I call a salesman in that's walking down the hallway and I say, look, you might want to look at this because we're at Benson Tower at that time looking out on the Superdome. It wasn't Benson Tower, but whatever it was. And I'm seeing people assemble for the final preseason game, I think it was, and I know what happened to me from that point. Tell me what happened to you as a player, as a person from that point. Friday night, was it discussed after the game about Katrina, or was it over the weekend for y'all?
No, I mean, after the game, I mean, it was steady changing. So, like mm-hmm. I said, you know, you find out a little bit more information. You don't know if you're going to be staying. You don't know if you're leaving. I mean, I think it was early Saturday morning the final decision was made to say, hey, we're going to be leaving. And, you know, even then it was a little bit later on that, hey, we will be taking your family as well if they're ready to go. You know, and for myself, with my family being from Mississippi, some just went back to Mississippi, you know, but you talk about, I think it was what, Contra Flow,
yeah.
You know, Contra Flow, just seeing and experiencing some of that, you know, it was obviously new, you know, to myself. And you never thought that you wouldn't be back in 3 or 4 days. You know, that was always the perception. And so, hey, this will be, you know, this will happen. We'll be back in 3 or 4 days. You play Oakland on Thursday. We'll come back after the game and it'll be, you know, you'll go on about your business. But obviously we know that was not what happened, and it was just uncertain. I mean, every day you kind of just, you were trying to figure out, all right, what's next? What's the normal schedule? I mean, because football guys, and most athletes, they are a creature of habit.
Routine.
And so if I'm told that, hey, practice is going to be at 7:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. I know that I will get there at 6 o'clock. Well, hey, I don't know where practice is going to be tomorrow. I don't know where practice is going to be in two days. Now that routine is kind of broken, and that's what you were kind of looking for, and you never really had it.
So you're playing the I'm trying to remember, the first game was against Carolina that year, and you guys went to Carolina the Sunday after Katrina?
Yes, that's correct. First game, well, not the Sunday after, because you played Oakland. You played Oakland the Thursday. Katrina, you know, basically you played Baltimore before the Friday before Katrina. After Katrina, you played, because there was 4 preseason games.
Oh, that's
and you
right.
played the Raiders.
That's right.
Yeah,
so
you played the Raiders.
Having seen what happened to the city, how hard was it for you to get ready to play the, I guess Carolina was the opening game?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, because you're still worried about, and so for me personally, though, I had a chance to come back to New Orleans, even while some people were rescued, mm-hmm. were being rescued, mm-hmm. and just to see just the devastation, et cetera. So I kind of had a firsthand glance and view. Some other players were able to come back because you got to remember, no one prepared to be gone for, you know, the amount of time that we were. So, you know, you had guys that were concerned about, you know, their property. Hey, I got to get this. I got to get that. Can I get this item? Or if somebody's going back, can you check on this item or this So different things of that nature. So some guys had the opportunity to come back to New Orleans before that preseason game. And, you know, you want to go and see people that were displaced. And so we had opportunity to go and do some of that in Houston and Dallas and up in Mississippi and some different places. But at the end of the day, the focus had to be, all right, we got to at some point try to win a football game. And that's what you were able to do. You were able to do that against Carolina.
Yeah, you did. And as a matter of fact, go ahead.
No, that's what I was about to say. You weren't able to sustain that type of momentum because it was a drain.
I think the fact that you beat Carolina under those circumstances is extraordinary. I got to ask you, you got 49 career TDs. You scored the first touchdown of that season, a 4-yard touchdown run against Carolina. Does that one stand out to you? Is that particularly memorable or not?
No.
No.
You had so much going on at that time. You know, that was just a part of a game, to be honest. If you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have remembered it without going back and looking at it.
That's nice to have 49 touchdowns in the NFL and not remember it. You are the man, I'm telling you what. Deuce, real quick, did you guys feel like you were carrying the city on your backs?
You were carrying the city. You were carrying, you know, a lot of things. And so, you know, I think we've spoken or at least talked about it. The unknown was the toughest part. Mm-hmm. And so we felt like for 3 hours, man, let's give these people some hope. Let's give these people something to cheer for and just know that we're behind them and we're with them. I mean, because most of us, we had means to be able to at least, you know, have the basic necessity. Most people in New Orleans, they didn't have that. And so you're dealing with adjusters, you're dealing with insurance, you're dealing with just issues. So for 3 hours, we tried to give them peace. We tried to bring, you know, some joy and some excitement. So that's what I said. It was just, it was stressful. It was a lot.
Well,
it was a lot that you were dealing with.
Let me tell you from this side of it, thank you, because it was relief and it was extremely needed at that time and every Sunday still. Hey, Deuce, thank you, man. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Deuce McAllister, you know who he is. 9:55, 5 till 10. Quick break, then we'll find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.